I'm Backside Tap.
Happy save.
That was the best one yet. Do you realize that we are on the cusp, 200 episodes? I probably cut that part out.
Yeah, cut that out. Yeah.
I probably cut the audio of the nose blow.
Okay, hold on a second.
Completely out.
Okay. Epic save.
Backside attack.
Yeah.
I didn't cut any of it. I was just a sneeze. That's it. Because the rest of it was good. We can't both be folding our arms.
Yeah, I know.
You fold your arms. I'm going to do my regular stance.
Yeah, I'm
sure. So we're on the edge, on the cusp of 200 episodes. That's fun because that's coming up. That'll be a fun one for us. I think we'll do maybe a retrospective.
Yep.
Or something. Mm-hmm. About our time together.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just did a couple weird little voice vocal things, fun stuff, because I've been thinking lately, especially this weekend. I had the kids over all weekend, jumping around, playing, doing whatever. The older one, he's 7 years old, and he's making faces and doing voices and just generally acting goofy.
Uh-huh.
And I know everybody kind of has this, the first thing you think of when you see that is like, hey, man, stop being weird. And I don't do that. Like, I'm more about, hey, man, let's make this weirder.
Yeah.
Let's get as weird as possible. And I'm bummed out when I think that there are a lot of people, a lot of parents and whatnot, who would say things like Keith, oh, that's becoming a trademark of yours, just so you know. That has to happen now, every episode. They have more and more parents tell their kids, just stop being weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, man. I think go the other way. I think kids need to explore their zaniness, their weirdness, as like you need to nurture it, you need to cultivate it.
Yeah, I think, it's depending upon like how crazy they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the kid's out of control, that's a different thing. But like if they have a little thing that kind of makes them special,
right?
Yeah, like you know, it's like yeah, he's out there, all right. And then I'll be like, yeah, you know what? I'd celebrate that rather than like
absolutely
try to like silence it, for lack of a better word.
Exactly, rather than and hinder it.
Yeah,
silence it,
mm-hmm.
Tamp it down,
mm-hmm.
Smash the fun right out of their bodies and souls with little soul-crushing stares and eye rolls.
Yeah.
Make your children write about you in a memoir 30 years from now.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that, you know, I wrote a memoir.
Yeah, you'll be in their manifesto when they do like
their manifesto.
When they go crazy.
These days, man. These days, the way the world works, it's like there are lots of people who do that. I can understand how, like what you said earlier, right? There are some people out there who maybe need to be asked to cut it out,
mm-hmm.
like when they're younger, because there's things, or maybe they need to go somewhere and
talk to somebody.
Yeah, and talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the most part, like what I'm talking about is like generally when a little kid is just having a good time, a sweet kid with a good heart who's just having a good time.
Oh yeah, like yeah, we all have like nephews like that, nieces like that, who are just like they're just like little wacky and stuff like that.
Yep.
But it's like it's you see the joy in their face, and you're like, oh, you know what, I want to partake in this, like you know, just a and then I think if you see that in them, they understand that you're not coming down on them.
Right.
I think it strengthens the bond between you two.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean the little guy there, the 7 year old, his parents are great. Like we're very close. His father is like a brother to me. Mm-hmm. I don't have an actual brother. You guys are my family. He is like a brother to me, and he's very cool. But at the same time, he just sometimes can't connect to certain like wacky things that go on. Whereas with me, like I'm all about the wacky shit.
Mm.
So, you know, Looney Tunes and like funny jokes like Man versus Bee and Mr. Bean and three Amigos, three Stooges.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm all about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
With the little kids, especially. So I introduce these things to him, and now it's like he'll give me weird looks or give me like 20 speak now. So you were going down to Chumley's to get the goods on the scrubs. Like weird shit like that.
Nah, see?
So like I really love having that connection to him where I'm the guy who kind of does that weird stuff.
I'm that guy, yeah.
Yeah, you're that guy too. I know that you have like a lot of fun introducing your nieces and nephews to like older comedies. Older fun things like that.
Yeah, I would say like I would relate to my nieces and nephews in a sense that I would treat them like they're my cousins rather than like, because the thing is like I would have that special, so like when they say like my nieces and nephews now, they're like you know what, you're the one I can go to if I have any questions or concerns about anything,
right,
without even like having done that. They just feel like they can come to you with anything.
You're a peer instead of like a
so like granted they don't call you by your official like East Indian like title like uncle and all stuff. They just call you by, I'm like I really don't care.
Yeah. You're just good old Raj.
Yeah. I'm like, that's fine. I don't really care.
Which is fine.
And my dad was like, you know, your nieces don't call you uncle. I'm like, oh, they don't call you like, whatever the title. I'm like, I don't really care.
This ain't the 70s, man.
Yeah, exactly. You ask them who their favorite uncle is, that's what I care about.
That's who you care about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there was a time, like when we were younger, that there was like a strict kind of way that our aunts, like, well, I think you maybe had goofy uncles too, like more fun.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That you still think of fondly.
Yeah, and they're still like, they're the ones I'm pretty much almost like, I could have like really good discussions with.
Yeah.
Like they were goofy, but at the same time, they understood that that's how you relate to kids.
Yes.
Yeah. So like you kind of like not in the like intellectual sense, but like more of like in the friendship sense, for lack of a better word, you just get down to their level.
Right.
And then you just talk to them about like, you know, whatever they're into. Instead of like talking to them like you're like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be doing that or wagging whatever it is.
Or do yeah, tell exactly. You what to do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like I did that with my nieces. I mm-hmm. just said, you know what, just have fun with them. And like just treat them like they're your friend.
Right.
And so to this day now, it's like, you know, you see that that love come back and they'll be like, you're like, oh my God, I can miss you. Can't wait to see you again, blah, blah, blah. So they know that you're... you always have their best interests at heart. So
it's reciprocated.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, when you do that, it definitely comes back to you. I've got an uncle who I kind of always talk about in that, like, I mean, not always, but whenever I mention this guy, everybody knows that he's the one.
It's always, come on.
It's always the one guy. Yeah, yeah. But he's the one who gave me my first weight set when I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12 going from like sixth grade into seventh grade. And he was like, this is what you're going to do. You're going to start hitting the weights. You're going to hit the weights and you're not going to be a pushover
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get yourself into like physical condition because you're going out into the wild now.
Yeah.
Like I know sixth grade was fun and elementary school is fun,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you better be getting jacked.
Yeah.
Like it's going to pay dividends later on in life. Exactly. Right? It's going to pay for it. And I still remember that when I was getting bullied in seventh grade by kids who were, you know, like, cause I got the old, the taxi doors here mm-hmm. for the ears. A kid flicked me one time and another one of my friends, good old Jay, he's like, let me tell you something, man. Like we're in the woods now. These kids are wolves. And we can't be pushed on. We can't be pushed around. We can't be dropped. We gotta fight back. I remember the first time like I had like a physical altercation as a seventh grader, and I realized I was stronger than the bully. I was like, holy shit!
Yeah.
Holy shit! It's true. If you just do 100 push-ups a day and hit the bench and do curls and shit, you're stronger than these kids. Like there were things that I still think about. With that uncle, and I bring it up to him all the time.
See, I was the opposite. I had like, not really the opposite. I guess mine was because I had an older brother who was much bigger than me, much that stronger too. Than me. Yeah,
yeah.
And we fought like worse than any kid could fight me. Like we would go at it because ego was on the line.
Yeah.
So we would just beat the hell out of each other,
dude.
So,
in fighters.
Yeah. So yeah. So like when I got into a fight at like, you know, in elementary school.
Hmm.
Yeah. The guy's like, you want to fight? I'm like, yeah, like, let's go.
What are you going to do to me?
Next thing I know, that kid's not, I didn't see that kid at school the next
right?
day.
Right? What are you going to do to me that my brother hasn't done?
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
You can put your thumb up my ass?
Yeah.
Then, my brother did it.
Yeah, then the principal will be like, I'll go to the principal's office and be like, what did you do to that guy? I'm like, and he, I was like, yeah. I'm like, what? I'm like, well, I said that then, I guess we'll know that doesn't ever happen again.
It's not serious.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in there mostly because of the fear. My brother is bigger and meaner.
Yeah.
But I was saying most fighters in the UFC, like if you look at the real like aggressive fighters,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them had like older brothers who beat the shit out of them on a regular basis.
But older brothers teach you how to fight.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Like my brother taught me how to fight. Like he's like, you don't really teach me. It's just like, it's just
it happens.
Like, yeah, you just learn. You're just like, you know what? You're just relentless because on your, yeah. you just like, there's, you just go all out. And my grandfather like actually appreciated it.
Encouraged
like,
it.
Yeah, he encouraged. He's like, yeah, you guys, he's like, good. Boys should like learn how to fight, right?
They that's great.
Yeah.
I know it sounds
actually,
like.
Yeah, and actually like after about like a couple of those fights.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it set the tone. Your people are just like, it you does. Know what, don't like this guy's either crazy or he knows how to fight. So either be friends with him or don't say anything to his face.
Right.
And so I'm like, yeah, I'm like, if you do, yeah, if you do, I'm going to lay you out like the rest of these victims.
This
so.
Is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I got a trail of bodies, kids.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. And my dad always said, like, if I came home, my dad's like, did you, you guys go out to a fight? I said, yeah. He's like, did you finish it? I said, oh yeah. The guy's, he's still on the ground.
you violent offender.
Yeah. So
you delinquent.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I feel like a lot of that is like these days it gets frowned on, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gets frowned on that you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. I'm a, like, you know, fights or name calling, whatever it is. I'm a big believer that like name calling is juvenile. Like it's a dumb thing for kids like of any era to do.
Yeah.
It's silly. I don't think it like toughens up. Hey, it's fine. He called your kid, whatever. It toughens him up. It's like, it doesn't. But I do think setting the tone as far as like not letting it bother you and being able to back it up if somebody says it and you tell them to bring it, I think that is lost on kids in this generation.
I think it's also, what's also lost is a sense of maturity, because like, you know,
oh, for sure.
Cause like the, I can honestly say that the kids, all the kids that I, this for me, this is just for me, just for me anyway, is that I grew up with a lot of all my cousins were much older than me. So mm-hmm. I tended to like take after them. Mm-hmm. So like after I would, like all the kids that I beat the living hell out of, like as the school year rolled by in elementary, they became my friends.
Yeah, you get a crew.
Yeah, because afterwards I'm like, you know what? I'm like, yeah, you taught them a lesson, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? That doesn't mean we can't be friends. And just and after that, I was like, I just said like, you know what, guy? You know what? It is what it is. And they're like, I'm sorry about that. And then the next thing you know, you're just because you're all, you know, you all play together. You but all play that's soccer.
Also, like a
you
guy
all play thing. Soccer together. Yeah, you all play, yeah. It's a guy thing.
That's a guy thing. Yeah, like when you get into a fight with a guy.
Yeah, I mean, afterwards, you know, you're just like at the end of the day, you're forced. You're in the same class. You right. play the same sports. You're playing at the same playground. Everyone plays hockey together. So you're just like, and then friends of friends would be like, you know what? Like, let's not make this uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, man, I'm sorry about that. Like, he's like, I'm sorry I said that. And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Let's just like, you know, as long as we're friends, I'd rather have you in my life and just have like, and have something positive come out of it rather than just ignoring you and doing all that stuff. So
just
like,
being grudge.
Yeah. Having this big grudge. It's just too awkward.
Yeah.
Cause you're best friends with this guy, and me and this guy are good friends. So yeah, and then so you have to have a sense of maturity about it. And so I developed that at a young age, and so I never like held grudges against people.
Right. Yeah. I think that's still around. Mm-hmm. I think that version is still around. But mm-hmm. I think the sense of maturity I'm talking about is like people in our age group, like our specific age group, it almost feels like they're not the ones who are like the largest selection of parents mm-hmm. anymore. It's always kids that are like parents who are a little bit younger than us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And those were like the younger, like they're millennials, right? They're actual millennials. Like we're the youngest of Gen Z mm-hmm. or Gen X, sorry. Mm-hmm. We are like Gen X at the tail end mm-hmm. and we're not really having kids. The older Gen X did, and their kids are still kind of like rough and tumble.
Yep.
Like our oldest brothers and sisters who are all in their late 50s now mm-hmm. are all kind of like rough and tumble. But like we were the younger ones. So we were goofing around, whatever. We didn't have kids, but then millennials started having kids and their kids are soft. Millennial kids are kind of soft. Like they're not really getting out there and like, they're not using their elbows to make space.
Yeah, they're not boxing you out.
Yeah, they're not doing that. They're not fighting for position anymore mm-hmm. the same way. It feels like to me anyway. I'm no psychologist. I'm not some an anthropologist where I'm studying human interactions over the generations past. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think that human beings have been on the earth longer than 12,000 years. I think we've been around a long time. So yeah. Maybe I am an anthropologist. I don't know. But at the same time, I feel like that's just gone from like the survival of the fittest. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's like
no,
everybody's in a war.
It seems like it's an antiquated notion.
Yeah. You know, whereas I think you really need to bring that back in a sense because it makes competition. It makes kids a little bit tougher. It makes the softer kids a little bit harder. They're able to handle the world a little bit better later on in life.
Oh, yeah. Like the kids grow. So a lot of the kids growing up, especially in the United States right now. Hmm. Like I'll tell you right now, even like one of my friends, he's his daughter or his like his daughter from another mother. Mm-hmm. She's going to university and she has no idea what she wants to do. She's entitled, like, you know, she like they were just given a, she was just given a car.
Oh.
Like just given a car, right? But it's an older car.
Oh, it
works.
Okay.
It works. Yeah, you know? Right. And like, yeah, you're gonna get this car. And then her reaction was, am I gonna be able to park it in the garage? And that's her first question.
Street.
And he's like, no, my new SUV is gonna go in there. So yours gonna be parked on the street or in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And so
if it gets stolen,
yeah,
them's the brakes.
Yeah. And she's like, what about gas and stuff like that? I'm like, yeah, you're going to have like a budget and you're gonna have to stick to it. And she goes, when the winter, when it's cold, he's like, you have a remote start. It's on there.
Like, what do you want here?
Yeah.
Like those are luxuries, man, compared to our first cars.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I'm like, why don't you just like put the hammer down and just be like, this is what you're getting, you little shit.
Yep.
You can take the bus to school. Like you could. Or we carpooled.
Yeah.
You could do that.
You can call your friends and ask them to pick you up in their shitbox car like we did.
Yeah. Like I just took I took the bus to university.
Oh geez, man.
Yeah. Or like I decided like, or I got a ride home from like if a carpool or something like that, right? We had to do to survive.
I had an $800 what's it called? Not a Camaro. It was Cavalier. I had an $800 Chevy Cavalier. Mm-hmm. This thing was an absolute piece of shit. I remember the last thing it ever did for me was the coolant blew out. I just put a little bit of extra gas on it, and the radiator just exploded on me.
Exploded.
The entire thing went to shit. But that was my first car. That was the little shit box. And those things, I mean, it was winter, man.
Mm-hmm.
The heat might not work. The heat might work. There might be a hole in your floorboard.
Yeah, I think it's our version of like our parents telling us, like, you know, when I was your age, I had to walk like 10 miles to school in the winter.
Right.
That's our version of it.
But I think like the car thing is a lot. I mean, that's even our parents' version of it to a sense, right? Because like our generation, maybe not for us, because our parents were immigrants, so they did have to struggle like a little bit harder. They did actually walk because they were in other countries. But like most people our age group that were born and raised in Canada, with parents who were born and raised in Canada,
mm-hmm.
probably had a similar car story. Like just a real, their version of an $800 Cavalier, which would be like a $200 Ford Pinto.
Yeah, I remember like when I was going to school, my greatest moment of my life, my uncle, my dad's older brother was like, my Thaiji was like, he's like, Reggie, he goes, you don't have a car? And I said, no, uncle, I don't. He's like, your brother does. I said, yeah, I know. I'm the only one in my family who doesn't have a car.
Right.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to give you a car. So he gave me a Mercury Sable.
Oh, God. That was not a bad ride.
Yeah, it's a Ford Taurus, basically. Yeah,
that was not a bad ride.
I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And he's like, yeah, just go ahead. You can take it. It's yours.
Not bad.
So he's like, I didn't even like check with my dad. Like, you know, but he just, I didn't, it was under his insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
My uncle's insurance. He's like, yeah, you can just take it. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I was driving it around. I'm like, I love this thing. This thing's, it's like pure freedom.
They weren't bad, man.
Yeah. And then so I was driving it around, and all of a sudden, my other uncle, my dad's sister's husband.
You have told me this story.
Yeah. He came by and he's like, he goes, Reggie, yeah, we're going to need that car. Yeah. My Chrysler, whatever. I think, I can't remember what car he had.
Was it LeBaron?
No, it was, what was it? It was a, was it? I can't remember the name of the car, but it was like another Chrysler, but it was like,
probably a K car.
I'm not sure what it was.
Reliant K.
Yeah. Or New Yorker. That's what it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then he said, yeah, my car died. I'm on my way to pick up the Sable. And he took it from me.
Just gone. You had all this freedom. Like, I mean, the world was your oyster.
It was, yeah.
And he stole it from me.
I could fit like four of my friends in there because
it
was great. It was
a big car.
Yeah. I came home. I'm like, Dad, Uncle took the car. I don't have a car anymore. And he's like, oh.
That burns, man.
He goes, that sucks. And he's like, okay. And he's like, okay, fine. And then next year, then my dad bought me a car.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He bought me, that's when I had, that's when I got the Tercel.
The Tercel also, underrated, man.
Love that car.
It was an underrated
car. I loved it until the day we got, it lasted me 15 years.
15 years, and how many kilometers were on it when you got it?
Let's see here. My dad bought it brand new, then my mm-hmm. brother had it for a year,
mm-hmm.
and then I took it. So I got it with like 20,000 clicks on it.
With 20,000. Oh, so it was still fairly new then.
Yeah, perfectly in shape. It was a manual. That's where I learned how to drive standard.
Right.
And I love that car. Loved it.
It's Toyotas, man. Yeah. I know like people will look at the smaller Toyotas and be like, oh, well, it was a little Toyota. It's like, yeah, but that little Toyota will last you 10 times longer than a little Chevy.
Yeah, look at my Toyota right now. It's like, it's flawless.
30 years in a third world country.
Yep.
Toyota's whole deal is it has to last 30 years
mm-hmm.
in a third world country with a regular, like regular maintenance.
Yeah.
Not special maintenance. Just take care of it.
Yeah. Even the Taliban, they will only use Toyotas.
They're always like in the, like, you look at them, they're all those little trucks. Like all their little trucks are.
Those Land Cruisers? Yeah. They just.
No. But they got the Land Cruisers, but the pickup. Not the Tacoma.
The Hilux.
Yeah. The Hilux. They're all driving around that little four-door thing. Yeah.
The gun mounts on the top of it. They're like.
You're blasting like tank mounted like rifles.
Yeah,
the double trigger dealies there.
Yeah, they're perfect vehicle for the apocalypse.
Anti-personnel rifle on top of like a Hilux.
Yeah, after they're done, they're like Japanese quality.
Yeah. Nippon.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Nippon. Yeah. Oh man, that was actually the beginning.
I want to talk about something.
Well, yeah, go man. Okay. Cool.
So there is. You probably know about this. There is a new Star Wars movie coming out.
There are many new Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I think there's three announced.
Three announced, yeah.
So the first one is the one Kathy and Kennedy talked about.
Let's just, for people who don't know,
okay,
this weekend was Celebration.
Yes.
And that's when they announced all their stuff. Andor Season 2 is announced.
Mm-hmm.
The future of The Mandalorian, the future of all the characters already out there.
Mm-hmm.
The big one was what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Which is the release of these. They didn't talk about the Rian Johnson.
No.
They talk about the one Kathleen Kennedy talked about.
Yeah, that's the one with Ray's coming back.
Ray's coming back.
Even though nobody
James
cares.
James Mangold, I think, is involved in something.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
Actually, that's the only one I care about.
Really?
James Mangold is
he's
an excellent director.
Yeah, so he has a track record of something good.
Yeah.
But that one with Ray is being directed by this, I can't remember her name, but she's a Pakistani journalist, part-time film director.
Hasn't really directed anything huge.
Nothing.
Ever. This is very clearly a, what was the world? They're hitting certain demographics.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, for sure. Like no one is excited to see anything. I don't think the majority of people, especially fans, are not excited to see anything Star Wars related.
Mm-hmm.
Like the majority of, I think Star Wars has like literally shot itself in the head.
Oh, yeah. I was going to let you keep going.
Yeah. It's like Kathy Kennedy is probably one of the worst studio heads ever.
I think as far as public perception goes, what she has talked about in public herself goes, and track record as far as like returns goes.
Yeah.
She might be the worst of all time.
Yeah. She took one of the biggest money making franchise, probably the most biggest one of all time.
Right.
And reduced it to a little subject, like a little thing in Disney Plus.
Yes.
A little channel in Disney
Plus. Like it's a little channel in Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Now,
granted, I'll say this, if anything. Now, they took a long time to make these movies because they're like, they probably went back to the drawing board and be like, what the hell are we doing? Yeah. That's the hope anyway, right? Now, especially with Marvel, like Marvel is pretty much almost dead too, but no one wants to see these things fail. I think Marvel fans and Star Wars fans want to see good stuff.
Yeah, even as fans.
Yeah, like no one's praying for their demise.
No.
But, they were told so by everybody. They're like, you guys are literally putting this thing into the ground. But a lot of fans, guys like YouTubers, all these people were just like, he goes, what are you guys doing? And they did not listen. They kept just trying to push this agenda and using Star Wars as the vehicle for it. And
they're oversaturating a market.
Yeah, like if you look at, I saw some of the episodes from I think it's Mandalorian season 3 with Lizzo and Jack Black or something like that. Are in there. Oh my God. It looks like I said, I didn't know. I looked at him, then I realized this was actually a comment going around. Like, this looks like an SNL sketch, but it wasn't.
I haven't seen season 3.
It's awful.
Yeah. All I can say is season 1 and 2 are phenomenal.
Yeah. And then,
it does suck that season 3 is
and
not getting great reviews.
Christopher Lloyd's in it for some reason. And they're talking about stuff like
that.
And I'm like, that's, I hope that's not his last acting role.
I don't mind Christopher Lloyd being in something. I'm fine with that.
Oh yeah.
But I don't want stunt casting. Every episode has got Lizzo, like you said, or Jack Black. And then Rihanna shows up and then,
But I think that's what it is.
Caitlyn Jenner plays a stormtrooper.
They're putting all these famous people in there to maximize the popularity of it. And it's going nowhere. Obi-Wan just, the viewership dropped 50% for all these things. No one's interested.
Well, it seemed like here's the thing. I don't necessarily think it's the fault of the stunt casting or Obi-Wan not being good. Andor clearly was very good. I've heard not mixed reactions about Obi-Wan. It's not people are this is good and this is bad.
I didn't watch Obi-Wan yet.
I've heard people either really like it or people are looking for a reason to really hate it. That's what I've gotten back. The feel I've gotten.
I think they even said a lot of the people who are watching Obi-Wan or who are still watching it are the YouTubers to review it and see how bad it is.
Right, but yeah. I also think that's unfair. I think I don't trust YouTube reviewers. I really don't. There are a few Star Wars Theory. I'll believe and trust whatever he says. Mm-hmm. Who's that? Sam Witwer. Sam Witwer, who's a big part of Star Wars. He's not a reviewer. He's an actor. But I will believe whatever that guy says because he bleeds Star Wars the way I used to bleed Star Wars. He's all about it. So I'll believe those sources. And that, to me, that's really important. But there's a lot of people out there who these days, when it comes to Rotten Tomatoes, movie reviewers, whoever they are, I don't trust them. I'll watch it myself and pull from it. I was told straight out The Mandalorian is awful. And I think The Mandalorian season 1 and 2 are the best Star Wars things since Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been the sequels, the prequels, Rogue One, or not the sequel, sorry, but the original trilogy, the prequels, Rogue One and Mandalorian. That's it. To me, that's Star Wars. And nothing else exists in that
world. Yeah, that's going to tie to my question. What is Star Wars to you? Sum it up in what is Star Wars to you?
Hope.
Okay, yeah, no, that's
I know it's enough. Corny. It might be cringy, but it's the hope of like a good story.
So does Star Wars for you, is Star Wars for you Leia, Luke, and Han?
Yes. Star Wars to me is the Vader? Is the Skywalker saga.
Yeah.
Minus the sequels.
Yeah.
To me, the sequels are such a good story done poorly. Mm-hmm. It's a great example of, let's give you, because here, let's break it down for a second. Let's actually like look at the sequel trilogy for a second. Let's nerd out.
Yep.
Tell me, character-wise, just character-wise, not dialogue, not like the way the movies are like pulled off, nothing. If somebody just gave you a basic synopsis of who the characters were in the sequel trilogy, are they that bad? Like, are they really, like, is it a bad direction? Is it that bad? If somebody gave you, like, a really bare bones, like, okay, so first, there's this girl, Rey, we don't know who she is. She's on a planet, we don't know what's up. Is she Luke's kid? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is she Yoda's kid? Or is she Obi-Wan's kid? We don't know.
Oh, sorry, okay, so you're saying if TFA, are you asking me to, like look at TFA and say, like, is that critically a good movie?
No.
Okay.
Not even that. Okay. I'm just saying, if somebody came up to you and told you, that like, okay, so I've got this outline of a story. Mm-hmm. This is who she is. We don't know what's going on. This is who Poe is. This is who Finn is. But we don't quite know what's going on. There's a new order. Where were they? We have no idea. This is what's up. If somebody gave you just like a very bare bones breakdown and then gave you a bare bones breakdown of the story alone.
So if they gave me the skeleton.
The skeleton of that thing. And then they gave you a skeleton of number two. And they gave you a skeleton of number three. And I told you, like, somehow we're going to make this work. They're going to pitch you that idea. Mm-hmm. For me, anyway, I'd be like, let's fucking see what happens here. This is interesting. But the actual, like, the way it was pulled off, the actual product they gave me, with what they could have done, like, they had actually really a really good skeleton.
Okay, I'll say this.
And they just blew it.
I'll say this. The skeleton for the first one is something I would use in medical school, okay? Because it's a fully fixed skeleton. It's really good. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a healthy skeleton. The second one, there's limbs missing. And the third skeleton for the Rise of Skywalker, whatever it is,
right.
That's a dusty pile of bones.
Let me tell you something. The second skeleton is not even a good skeleton. Mm. It's got three dicks.
Yeah.
It's like somebody took a skeleton and they're like, you know what we'll do? First, we'll go to a casino planet. And then we'll go back to the other planet. Yeah. And the guy who's a good guy, who's with them all from the beginning of time, well, he's a bad guy. He's going to betray them. And then we'll go to a different planet. It's like, yeah. It's got like three dicks.
I know, yeah. I watched the second one with I was like, I'm like, why are you doing this?
Right.
Like, why are you shoehorning in all these things that make absolutely no sense? And like the special effects and everything, it had moments of like, you know, like where like cinematically, you're just like, wow, the shot was shot very well. So I can appreciate that as someone who likes how movies are shot.
Mm-hmm. It looks great.
Yeah. So the movie looks great. Right. But the casino scene was like, I fell asleep through that. I'm like, I was like this, and I went, and I was like, oh, geez. I'm like, where am I? Yeah. And then like all these, these animals trapped in a zoo. Is that what happened in that movie?
No, they weren't trapped in a zoo. They were being used for like their version of like races of the,
exactly.
The greyhound races.
Yeah. And I slept through that. Thank God. If I saw that live in the theater, I would have been like,
they're slaves. Like we were slaves. Yeah, I'll fucking show them.
No, yeah, it'd been worse when I saw Black Panther. And so, yeah, I was just the like,
CG sequence.
Oh, it was terrible. Like, you know, like I had no problems with the movie, like Black Panther. I was like, you know what? Michael B. Jordan was great.
Story was great.
Yeah.
Villain was great.
Chadwick Boseman was awesome. But the special effects, the fight sequences were absolute garbage.
Yeah. Not to go off track, but I felt the same way about Black Panther that I did about Blade 2.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like Blade 2, there was so much great about it. Mm-hmm. And then the CG fight sequences happened.
They're terrible.
And you're just like, what?
Why can't you improve on the original?
Why? Well, you know, especially Del Toro. Like, okay, well, that's a story
for another day, yeah.
But as far as Star Wars goes, I just feel like if you look at the Skywalker saga and you keep it going from Rogue One to the end of episode 9, and you include Mandalorian and maybe some Book of Boba Fett, that there, just close the book on the actual Skywalker thing. Do whatever you want to do with Mando and Book of Boba Fett. Like, they keep going, doing their own thing, and that becomes the next saga. Mm-hmm. But I don't need another branch, and then another branch, and another branch. No, you've got this Baby Yoda, this Grogu thing. Mm-hmm. That's your next series. That's it. Shut everything else down.
Yeah.
You can tell me some backstory between Obi-Wan, because that's backstory. You kind of want to know what happened with him. But that's very thin. That's one season. I don't need 8 seasons of, like, look, yeah. He says, at last, like, we meet at last, Obi-Wan. When we last met, I was a student, you were the master, right? The learner and master thing.
Yeah.
That's not 8 seasons.
No.
That's a very short amount of time, man. You just fill in a few blanks and walk away.
Yeah. And the sad thing is that you have to watch like different shows to keep a timeline going.
You know what it's turned into? It's turned into the X-Men. Oh, there's a little touch there. We turned into the X-Men. Yeah, oh, God. The X-Men of like movies.
Yeah.
When we were kids, the biggest thing that I couldn't stand about trying to get into the X-Men comics is there were 50 X-Men comics. They crossed over every year.
Yeah.
And every year, 3 or 4 characters die and they're brought back by the end of the year in another crossover.
Yeah.
It was way too much content. Yeah. I don't need all that from the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, this is just like if you want to find the string that goes the story that connects the storyline through everything, yeah, good luck. Yeah, that means you have to watch like so many different shows. Like maybe that's their way of like getting you into the
shared universe.
Into the shared universe.
Keep paying the money.
Yeah, exactly. It's like their cinematic version of Apple.
You know what? That's a great way to put it. If they get you into the ecosystem, then they get you buying their products, and the only way to keep using those products is to buy their other hardware again.
Yeah,
Pixelmator.
Yeah, you know what the weird thing is that if you buy the Skywalker Saga on 4K,
the Skywalker,
you know that the Skywalker one, you know that big box that you can get.
Yeah, yeah.
None of those are mastered in Dolby Vision,
and they're also not the best looking movies to begin
with. No, and then but if you watch them on Disney Plus,
yeah,
they're all in Dolby Vision.
And still,
so it's a waste of money.
Not looking great.
No, they still don't look great.
They still don't look great.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah, the only one that looks really, really good is Empire Strikes Back. I'll give it that.
I'll tell you what, The Empire Strikes Back, even the remaster, or not the remaster, the special editions,
mm-hmm.
still look really good.
Yeah.
There are a lot about those dialogue changes and the changes Lucas made that are awful.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always felt like the subtle things about these movies, be it the Marvel movies or the Star Wars movies, the subtle things were what made them great.
Yeah. It's a lot of little things done well.
Yeah, like you said last time, the perfection.
Yeah.
Little things done well. Here's a little okay, so I'm going to give you two examples. One that wasn't touched and one that was touched and why they're both awesome.
Okay.
In the original Spider-Man movie, when the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Yeah.
When Spidey has got the kid in the building and they're all screaming like there's my baby in the building, he jumps in.
Mm-hmm.
So Spidey is coming down the street in his webs. He's slinging away. And he uses, as he comes around the corner, he's got to make a right angle in midair to get into a building.
Yeah.
And he uses a lamppost.
Mm-hmm.
He swings around and uses his own momentum to come around. And his web hits a lamppost and ricochets him at a right angle into a building. So he has now gone like perpendicular to his motion, like a pendulum. And the heat from the fire in the building burns his web off the lamppost and it floats away.
And it's just in one shot.
It's one shot.
Yeah.
And they keep it there so you can actually look at it. And you think some designer subtly put that in there. And it is a beautiful piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
In a movie that could just be a throwaway scene. Nobody else sees that.
Yeah.
But you see it. In Empire Strikes Back, after Luke shows up and all that shit happens and he gets away, Han is being taken away. He's frozen and done all of his stuff. Vader is so angry. He's so mad at this clusterfuck that should have been easy. He should have frozen Han and sold him to Jabba. He should have gotten Luke frozen and taken him with him to the Empire, to the Emperor. And as he's walking away, like, yo, boss, what are you doing? And all Vader says is, prepare my shuttle.
Yeah.
But he says it in this tone, like James Earl Jones puts in, like, prepare my shuttle.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck, so mad. In the special editions, it's like, take me to Shuttle Bay 1, get my shuttle, take me off the ship. It's like, no. Why would you add all this excess
that you don't need
and clog
just,
it up?
Yeah, just chop the fat off.
Right? Just chop the fat off. It'd be like if they took the string of thread in the air from mm-hmm. Spider-Man, then added like a bird, like a dove would fly into it, grab the thread, fly onto a lamppost, and the American flag would be behind it. It's like, no, don't clutter it with excess that nobody wants. All you're doing is saturating your already great product with shitty excess.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the changes that bother me the most
in
the special editions. However, Empire Strikes Back still looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous movie.
I'm sorry for that little rant.
That's okay.
That was, I took your thing.
Have some water.
I'm going to have some water.
Hydrate.
I'm going to hydrate. No. I've had a lot of salt and a lot of sugar today.
And you're on no sleep.
I'm on no sleep. Legitimately.
Yeah, you're a little fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you said you do have a VHS player, right?
I do have a VHS player. If anybody has noticed, there's more stuff back there.
Yeah.
You want to tell them why there's more stuff back there? I'll bring it up. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
There's one in particular. Two are good. Two are very good. One in particular is...
Was recommended.
Was recommended. I haven't seen it. I'm so happy about
it. Okay, so basically I got a t-shirt made at this one store. So it's a... to give them a shout out. It's TGIF that's used to be on Calgary Trail and White Avenue. I think they're moving locations, but you can Google them. So I went there to get a t-shirt made. I saw it on my birthday. It was just an Autobot symbol in the shape of a Wu-Tang symbol. So I went there and then I bought this book. It's called the 100 Wackiest Movies.
Okay. We talked about
that. Yeah, that book about the craziest movies, like everything in the 80s and 90s from like, you know, Enter the Ninja, Ninja 3 Domination, Commando, Bloodsport, all these movies. And so I bought the book and he's like, oh, you get two free VHS copies or two VHS movies, whatever you want. He has this wall of all my favorite movies on VHS. So I said, okay, fine. So then he said, I picked my two and he said, okay, you know what? Watch this one as well. Because this guy's straight from the 80s.
So the first one you picked though, the first one was good old Bloodsport.
Bloodsport.
I mean, arguably one of the defining movies when it came to the later era of martial arts.
Yeah.
Like the resurgence of Western martial arts movies.
Yeah. So I was going to get that or Kickboxer, but I was like, yeah, whatever. And then...
And then good old...
One of my favorite movies.
True Romance.
True Romance.
But not just True Romance.
No, that is the director's cut.
The unrated director's cut.
Yeah, the unrated director's cut. And those are the original... VHS tapes.
I will say True Romance, I know it's not a complete... Only a Tarantino movie. It's Tony Scott and Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
He didn't direct it. It is my favorite Tarantino script.
It's up there. Yeah. For me, it's up there. Yeah.
And maybe story as well.
Mm-hmm. And it has the Tony Scott look to it.
Oh, the perfect, like, I mean, if you liked Top Gun, imagine if Quentin Tarantino wrote Top Gun and the main character was dating a hooker and he had an addiction problem.
Oh, yeah. The music by Hans Zimmer. It's okay. It's a great, and has like has the best cast of any movie I've ever seen.
Val Kilmer's in it.
Yeah.
You name it. One of the greatest cameos.
Yeah. Gary Oldman's in it.
Brad Pitt in a great cameo.
Brad Pitt has Bronson Pinchot. Yeah, it has like a bunch of people in it. So yeah,
Saul Rubinick.
Yeah,
Saul Rubinick.
Yeah,
he's in it.
Tom Sizemore. Christian Slater. Patricia Arquette. Dennis Hopper. Yeah, and then this guy gave me this movie to recommend, and he recommended this to watch it. It's called, what's it called?
Deadly Prey. I swear that's Steve Martin in that jacked up commando.
The
gun
war host. Game that became reality.
The war game that came in. So who is in this? I didn't even look it up.
I have no idea. It's Sony Pictures.
I do like how ridiculous.
He reprinted that himself.
He reprinted this.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't look new. Deadly
yeah.
Prey.
Yeah, he did this all himself.
Is this box his own as well?
It
might be.
I might be, buddy. I know he did the, he redid the film and then he put it on VHS himself.
I've got a feeling that this cover art here that we're looking at is all handmade by him. Well, not handmade, but like custom made.
Could be.
By him. Because that is not a sticker. This is all the wear and tear is fake. But it's beautiful.
It's a work of
art. Like this looks like something that we would have grabbed in the 80s.
I can appreciate the effort that he put into that.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. So we'll give that a view one day.
1987. A group of sadistic mercenaries begin kidnapping people off the streets, setting them loose as prey on their own secret military hunting grounds. It's all sick fun and games until they meet their match when their latest kidnap victim turns out to be a tough, gung-ho Marine trained as the most perfect killer ever. Despite him being unarmed and hunted, they've seized the wrong man and they're going to pay. In Vietnam, he was the best. He still is.
So it's like The Running Man with Rambo.
It's more like Hard Target.
Kind of like Hard Target. Like, Hard Target to Rambo, yeah.
This is like the dollar store Hard Target with Steve Martin Rambo.
I'll take that all day. Yeah.
What happened to things like this and Hard Ticket to Hawaii and all those like wild 80s, you know, like Chained Heat? Like there used to be some really wild...
Chained Heat. I remember Chained Heat 3.
Remember Chained Heat 3?
Yep.
Chained Heat 3.
Yeah.
The Ellipsis. There's just like, there's a market for it. Because like there's movies of this quality
are actually made in a... Like this would be released in theaters in like Lebanon.
Yeah, yeah. All those movies were huge overseas.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what we didn't know growing up was when Seagal and Dolph Lundgren and Van Damme were making these direct-to-video movies, they weren't direct-to-video. They were direct-to-video in North America.
Yeah, and here, but overseas, those are like in Europe and some of those war-torn countries, those are like people line up like around the block to watch those movies in theaters.
Double Impact was huge in Croatia.
Yeah, because that movie was... Double Impact was actually one of his biggest early blockbusters.
Double Impact was?
Yeah.
I think I'm thinking of Knock Off.
Oh, Knock Off. Yeah, Knock Off is one of his worst movies ever.
What was the other twin one? Because Double Impact was the first twin one. Then he had another twin one.
Yeah, that was The Replicant.
Replicant is the clone one. He's cloned in The Replicant. He's a criminal. Van Damme in The Replicant plays a criminal who's like a Buffalo Bill style, like a Ed Gein serial killer.
Yeah.
And then he ends up killing like Michael Rooker's family or wife or something. And then Michael Rooker is now in charge of the clone they make of the killer from the blood he left at the crime scene.
He's his handler, yeah.
He's his handler because that clone is like a childlike 3-day-old Van Damme.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe his habits will start to form and you'll be able to use him to find the original killer.
Yeah.
Van Damme plays the murderer and the replicant.
Yeah. What is your favorite Van Damme movie?
Favorite Van Damme movie?
Yeah. And why?
Oh, man. I've always said I like Time Cop a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a big Time Cop guy just because
that is technically his best movie.
Technically his best.
Yeah. You could throw Universal Soldier up there too.
Universal Soldier is great as well. The restaurant scene for me in Universal Soldier is top notch.
Yep.
His final confrontation is top notch. The rest of the movie is good, but it lags a bit in some spots. All the Universal Soldier stuff mm-hmm. is a lot of fun.
Yep.
For some reason though, there's something about the way Time Cop feels to me that I really like. It was that Judge Dredd Time Cop. That era of that kind of movie.
Time Cop quality wise was his best movie. Cause it was a blockbuster.
It felt like Demolition Man or something.
Yeah, exactly. It was an action blockbuster.
Yeah. I really like Time Cop.
So if you had to watch one Van Damme movie right now, what would it be?
Oh, well, I'd put the VCR and I'd pop out to Bloodsport. There's, I haven't been to Southeast Asia so much. Like I've been to Bangkok and Vietnam, Cambodia. I've been to like these.
You've walked the streets of Siam.
I've walked the streets of Siam and to like, in my head, I remember the very first time, like back in 07, when we first went to Bangkok,
mm-hmm.
I just felt like that's like those movies, Kickboxer and Bloodsport, where you're walking around, you're like, back then, even though it wasn't that long ago, it really felt like you were going somewhere way far away. Like now it's a heavy Western tourist destination.
Yeah.
Like you go to Chiang Mai now and it's like 3 million people. It's packed and there's malls everywhere. Everything's bright and shiny. It feels like Japan.
Yeah.
But when we went, it was like 1.3 million, 1.4 million, and get it out. 1.3 million or 1.4 million, and it was just like you would barely see white guys. And when you did see a white guy, they were dressed like Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what are you doing? Like you're from Illinois. You're from like an Illinois suburb.
Yeah.
And you're out here with your sling bag and your baggy pants and your patchouli hair. Like, what are you doing, man? You look like a weirdo. But it really was where you would say things like Bangkok has him now, or the streets have him now, Thailand has him now.
Yeah.
You know, when you went to a full moon party, you weren't sure if you were coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I went to the scooter. I'm like, oh, I'm going to die on this thing. And probably in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just bury me next to an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just like it's very hustle and bustle of New York City kind of feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Bloodsport and Kickboxer, that's what we felt.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe that's why I still feel those movies.
Yeah. I think number one for me would be like, if I had to watch one, like that, a pure Van Damme movie, like Van Damme. Yeah. Like Time Cop it doesn't feel like it's a great movie.
Right.
But I would say my favorite Van Damme movie where it's like it just oozes Van Damme. Cause like Time Cop was Van Damme at his best. Like, you know, he's just like, he's a normal action star.
Right.
Like my favorite Van Damme movie would be probably, I'd have to say Kickboxer.
Kickboxer is pretty great.
Yeah, I'd say Kickboxer. Then number two would be Hard Target.
Hard Target also is really awesome. Yeah.
And I think one of his dark horses would be Cyborg.
Cyborg I love more because of what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's why I love Cyborg more. The whole He-Man thing going on there.
Yeah.
I really like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the behind the scenes stuff, it makes for an interesting movie.
It's very interesting. Cyborg is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Kickboxer, I always get asked why I love Kickboxer more. I've been training Muay Thai since I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, that's why I went to Thailand. Old Strangler, he's a big Kickboxer guy. He's a Muay Thai guy. People always like wonder, why is Kickboxer not higher on my list? It's just, there are certain things about it. Because maybe I was so young when I started training Muay Thai,
mm-hmm.
that the myth of what that movie was trying to portray was very like, it is kind of silly when you, like, there are underground fights in Thailand, but, and I'm sure, like, I mean, everybody's like the rosin and the bless you. Oh, two times.
Excuse me.
The rosin and the dipping your hands. And that definitely used to happen.
No, Zundai. Sorry about that.
No worries. And I have seen festival fights
yeah.
that got wacky. Like, I mean, that got like really like, I don't know. Like, I know they're supposed to be WWE-ing this thing.
Excuse me.
No worries. But they're clearly, like, you know, pushing it a little bit harder than it needs to go.
Oh, they have to dramatize it for sure.
They have to dramatize it. But it just never, I don't know, like, the reality of that movie is that it's a lot of bullshit. Like, it's a lot of, I don't buy it.
There's a lot of campiness in that
movie. A lot of campiness in it. So for me, that's not.
Excuse me.
Super high on my
list. There you go. Yeah.
Man, we are just like cutting through all those sneezing fits.
Yeah, I know.
If anybody wonders why the last segment sounded so jarring, it's because this guy just put pepper up his nose.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, it's that springtime. It's the dander in the air.
You know, I'm not going to. I'm not going to doubt that dander at all. We were in the backyard today, the kids with some RC cars. I bought them.
Yeah.
It's rough out there, man. Like, I don't get allergies, like season allergies. But the seasonal, the mold and the shit that's already in the grass coming up, they're running around. It's hard on your system.
It plagues my system, yeah.
Like, you get it bad.
I get it bad. Like, I just had to, I've been on two inhalers for a month.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, like, I feel fine. Like, I'm totally fine now, but I'm just finishing it off. It seized my stomach. It seized my, airway where I couldn't even breathe.
That's rough, man.
Yeah.
That was what you were getting the post-nasal drip and everything from, yeah?
This was different. I remember, like, the day I got it, I was wheezing, like, heavily, and I was just coughing up, like, a bunch of stuff, and then all of a sudden on Friday, I was like, I have to leave site, and so I left work early. And good thing I did, because I went to the doctor, and then he said, yeah, your prescription will be ready in 45 minutes. So I went home, and when I got home, I couldn't even breathe.
Wow.
I was like gasping for air, and I was like, holy crap. So I have to leave the house. I left the house. I stayed in the parking lot for like 20 minutes. And as soon as I was like, then they texted me and they're like, oh yeah, your medication's ready. So I went right to the front. I went to the desk. I was like heaving. I'm like, like that. Right. And I was like,
Jesus.
And then I was like, oh God. And then she's like, okay, this is your medication. And I was like, okay. Then it subsided a little bit. She's like, okay, do you know how to use this? I'm like, yeah, I know how to use it. Just give it to me.
You know what I mean?
And she gave it to me. I ripped it open. I took two puffs of each one. And I was like, ah.
Like, I turned into a crackhead. Like, yeah, I can't get it.
I was like, I took two puffs. And I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like to breathe properly. I'm like, this is so much better. And I'm like, and then within like that same day, I was better.
That's rough, man.
Yeah.
That is rough. I've never had that
before. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't imagine. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I mean, I know people who have really bad asthma.
Yeah.
And walking down the street at this time of year, especially like having not the best cardiovascular health anyway, a friend of mine just walking down the street a little while ago was having trouble breathing and walking and talking.
Yeah.
To where we had to recognize it. And it bums me out because like this is one of my closest friends to see her struggle.
Yeah.
Through that, it's hard to watch.
Yeah. It's
difficult to see somebody go through it.
Yeah. The doctor was like, do you have any history of asthma? I said, no, I never had it. Like, this is the first time I've ever had this. And he's like, oh, so they want to send me for a pulmonary test? I'm like, I really don't need that.
I just want the drugs.
Yeah, just give me the drugs.
And get out of my face.
Yeah, and then they were like, hey, you have to go on these pills. So just three pills, that's it. You take one a day. And then, they take two puffs in the morning, two puffs at night, and just see how you feel. And I did that. And for the first day, I was totally done.
That feels pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just... Every breath is a gift.
Ah, yeah. Otrivin.
Yeah.
Now, would Otrivin have done it if you just taken like an Otrivin?
Probably not.
Probably not. So you just walked up there and gave yourself the tube.
I would just take it off the shelf. That's how desperate I was.
Do you remember when Otrivin looked gross? Like Otrivin, when I was younger, I used to have, and this is the only time, I don't know what would happen. Sometimes I get really sick and like my airway would close up, but it wasn't like allergies or cats or dogs or anything. I would get my throat would close up, my nose would close up.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned what Otrivin was. So I remember you would go and buy it in this black, like black bottle with a brown label.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a disgusting looking thing. It's almost like they would try to shame you into not getting addicted to it.
Yeah.
Like how gross the product was. Yeah, like on your shelf, it would look disgusting.
Yeah. I couldn't do that. Yeah. I was just, the doctor was so, I went in there, I was in and out. I was like so happy. I'm like, oh. You saved my life.
You saved my life, homie.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, a puff of Otrivin would have fixed you right up. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, are you kidding me? Hey, so here's another thing I was thinking about this week.
This is digitally processed with Dolby Surround.
Well, this is these movies were the first what's it called? The first generation of like THX and Dolby. They're just coming out.
Yep.
People don't. We'll stay on here for a second. People have forgotten that VHS had some of the best sound quality.
I loved it. Yeah.
VHS sound. It was way better than Laserdisc.
Yeah.
Laserdisc sounded very like,
it's choppy.
It's choppy, but yeah. It was very tinny. Like you almost heard too much. It's like going from vinyl to CD.
Yeah.
Whereas like VHS, they used to do audio interviews for, the news stations and stuff. They used to record audio on VHS because it sounded so much better. Mm-hmm. But VHS audio used to be really good. Like, remember the high bitrate VHS? Where it was, like, the really good audio?
Oh, yeah.
The movie might not look so great, but the audio was really good?
Yeah, because we would, like, my parents, like, my dad and my uncle, they spent, like, thousands of dollars on, like, Sony receivers and speakers and surround speakers and stuff like that, just so we could have, like, a really... And I remember, like, the first movie that we watched that was in really, really high quality, we're like, just, we can't wait to watch it, was Die Hard. And it doesn't get much better than this.
Let me tell you something. I remember watching Die Hard on a 5.1 at my uncle's house in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
When the title, like the music hits on the title, little clanging sound.
Yeah, clang, yeah.
And then the plane would come over. That was like, every speaker was going, and it was like the Grandpa Simpson thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like the sound would kind of hit you.
Yeah.
And you could feel like in your throat.
Yeah.
It was so good.
For me, sound is as important as picture.
Sound, and like we've mentioned here on the last one, sound for me is more important than picture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If the picture looks okay, it can pass for me.
Yeah.
But if the sound is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, no bueno,
homie. Picture quality is something you could admire, but sound is something you feel.
Sound is something you feel. You feel it emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your soul.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe that. So, not to move on, but I was just doing this thing where, what were some, I read this thing online, it's on Reddit. What were some examples that you've got where you maybe either you felt bad about it or you noticed it and you're like, this is going to go wrong for someone.
Okay.
Of like a second fiddle. You could watch. You could almost watch a second fiddle starting to wither away. I'm gonna give you some examples, sure. But you might already have them.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm gonna ask you if you've got something in your head. You're like, oh, this is gonna be bad for that person. Because I heard actually like a nice story about a second fiddle that made me appreciate the first fiddle more, while already being a fan.
Okay.
So what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? What do you got? Give me an example of a really a second fiddle that you saw coming. You're like, this guy is going to disappear from everywhere. He's about to go. The main guy is going to skyrocket, and this guy is going to wither off and no longer exist.
Oh, I could tell you my first one that I thought when I realized that.
Hit me, homie.
When I was young.
I hope this is the same one I'm thinking of.
The guy from Wham.
Andrew Ridgely.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, homie. That's like number one on my list. Wham.
Oh, is it? Okay.
George Michael takes off. Andrew Ridgely goes away. See, this is why we're friends.
Yeah.
This is why we're friends. Yeah, Andrew Ridgely. It's the same one, man. It's like he was there and then all of a sudden he's about to go. And you can see it coming. I read a thing online about how somebody was like listening to the radio. And they heard somebody say Wham featuring George Michael.
Yeah.
Instead of Wham.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is where he goes.
Yeah.
This is where he skyrockets and the other guy just becomes the other guy.
Yeah. I thought about it was when one guy, I knew this guy was going to last and the other guy's just going to burn out if they don't stay together.
Oh God, this is the next one. I'm going to laugh my ass off.
Is Kenny and Spenny.
Oh, Kenny and Spenny.
I'm like, Kenny is going to be fine. Spenny's just going to be like that guy that like lives in a cave,
mm-hmm.
and just grows old and just regrets every decision he made in life.
Every choice. Yeah. I just put water
and,
on myself.
But they're still going, granted, the whole point of that show, Kenny versus Spenny, is to piss off Spenny as much as he can. Because when Spenny's pissed off, that's when he's funny.
That's when he's funniest.
Yeah.
When Spenny is really upset, the show is significantly better.
Yeah. I remember one of the season one episodes was who's more sane.
Mm-hmm.
And so one psychiatrist is like, he said it best. He's like, Kenny is a flame and that flame burns.
Yes.
And Spenny's the log. And that log has to be burned. So Spenny is more sane because without the log, there is no fire.
There's no fire.
Yeah. And so, I think Kenny realizes that.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, my whole thing is to make sure Spenny's as miserable as possible.
Right. Spenny, the more miserable Spenny is,
the funnier he is.
The funnier he is.
Yeah.
And because it's just like, I mean, I've always kind of felt that there has to be some level of him faking it, But then you get these moments where like, I don't think he is. Like, he gets these genuinely flabbergasted, because if he was faking it, at some point he'd start laughing. At some point he'd just start to like crack up.
Yeah, you can see moments where he cracks up, but it's just because Kenny's just being hilarious.
Kenny's being hilarious.
Yeah.
Where it's like he's doing something where you can't help but laugh.
Yeah.
But when he's the butt of the joke,
yeah,
and he's being targeted as like the terrorist that Kenny is.
Yeah.
That when he starts really playing that up, you would think if Spenny was faking it, he'd laugh. And he's not.
He's not. Like he gets destroyed by Kenny like over and over again.
Right.
I'll say this. Throughout seasons 1 through 6, Spenny definitely did more humiliations, but I think overall Kenny did worse humiliations.
Kenny had to do worse things.
Yeah. So when Spenny got him back, he got him back good.
Right.
But just not as often enough. So quality wise, Spenny, I would give it to Spenny, but right. number of losses and number of humiliations. Yeah. I would give it to Kenny.
Cool.
Yeah.
But they didn't second fiddle though.
No, they didn't.
They were one and two fiddle.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking would happen. What would happen.
Yes.
But, Wham for sure.
Wham for sure.
Yeah.
Wham 100% is one of those cases of like this guy was going to go. So anyway, the Wham thing that I heard, I don't know if it's true. I didn't research it. I have nothing to back it up. But apparently when Careless Whisper was written, George Michael wrote Careless Whisper, basically is the driving force behind that song.
Mm-hmm.
Does all the heavy lifting. Originally is there. It's a Wham song. It's not a George Michael song.
Yeah.
George Michael, I guess, had already decided to go solo. And was about to go solo. And things were going to go really well for him.
Yeah.
And Best decision he ever made.
Yeah.
But he put Andrew Ridgely on as a co-writer.
Mm-hmm.
Not like also written with like whatever. But like, you know, he put him on as like, it's George Michael and Andrew Ridgely.
Mm-hmm.
So that when George Michael leaves and Careless Whisper is still going to take off, be the hit that it is, Ridgely will never have to work a day again in his life.
Yeah.
Essentially, he's picking up royalties still from that song.
Mm-hmm.
And not small ones. That's a major 80s hit.
It's huge, yeah.
Which, if that's true, which I can see being true, because I dare anyone to find one person to talk shit about George Michael.
Yeah, he's...
That seems like something he would do.
Yeah, at his height, he was Michael Jackson level.
He was Michael Jackson level.
Yeah.
But, like, no con... Like, yeah, so he went to a stall one time and picked up a dude. Who gives a fuck what he does in his... Look, yeah, he picked up a guy. You're gonna hold that over his head? He picked up a dude in a bathroom. Like, senators do it and shit. Like, yeah, okay. And maybe he did it in a way that's kind of like the quote-unquote, like, traditional way for gay men to pick up other gay men.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
No kidding.
He's picking somebody up in the way he felt was going to get him something.
How does that affect you?
Yeah, he met somebody. How does it affect you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not even a controversy in my mind.
No.
It's just a dude picking up a dude when they already knew. It's just a dude playing a dude, playing another dude. Picking up a dude where he knew that they were going to meet. That's all that is.
Yeah.
And then because, like, you know, everybody is so all up in arms about gay rights and shit at the time, there's probably, like, some heavily right-wing motherfuckers who wanted to bring down George Michael.
Yeah.
They arrest him and do all that kind of shit to him, whatever they wanted to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no controversies.
Yeah.
George Michael has no controversies.
No, if you, like, I remember when the album Older came out,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I couldn't wait for it. And I was listening to it, and I was like, to this day, it's like, that album is just, it's... Dare I say it's some of the best stuff that Michael Jackson produced at the same time and further on, actually.
Yeah.
It's an amazing album.
It's a great album.
Yeah.
It's borderline a perfect album.
It's so well produced.
Yeah. It's a representation of the artist.
Yeah.
And it's a representation of what the artist can do with what it's a perfect example of, hey, you want to hear an album from George Michael?
That's the one you play. Yeah.
You go play that. And you listen to it like, holy shit, this is what you're talking about?
Yep.
And then when you hear other albums from him, you're like, yeah, that's that guy.
Yeah. I remember like my cousin, she got, she's picking me up. She was in grade 12 while I was in grade 10. She went to Scone. I went to Ainley.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember grade 10, I was like, she used to come. She was the first one. Like she had remember those black Honda Civic hatchbacks that were really popular back
then? I feel like you've already told me about this cousin.
She would come pick me up for lunch.
Those were rad little cars.
And then she had a little Pioneer like sound system in there. And every time she would pick me up, she play like you could hear like Fast Love playing.
Yeah.
I'm like, and then my friends are like, oh, who's that? I'm like, that's my cousin,
right?
And then I was like, we always go to McDonald's because we both love McDonald's, and she's like, I ask her, I'm like, what do you think of the album? She's like, oh, I only listen to this song on repeat over.
I only listen to the song.
Yeah,
I listen to it. I push the cassette back. I listen to it again.
Yeah, I put it on repeat. That's all I do.
Yeah, or is it a CD player? So it's, yeah, so she had the money to go on repeat.
Yeah, and I remember that. I was like, oh my God. And then, and then one of my friends who went to school with her had a crush on her.
Oh, that's bad news.
Yeah, and then...
he wasn't your friend
anymore. I remember, he was talking to one of my friend of the show, Sandy. He's like, have you seen this girl in grade 12? And then Sandy's like, that's Reggie's cousin.
That's her cousin, homie.
That's AKA my sister. Stay away from her.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. This is bad news.
Yeah.
You don't date your cousin's
cousin. Yeah, trust me. You don't get yelled at by Reggie for that.
Your buddy's cousin. Yeah, you're getting in trouble. But yeah, I like the idea of second fiddles. My other second fiddle.
I'm also trying to think another one. Yeah. Another one.
I'll give you a great one.
Yeah.
That you will know, but it's not in the genre of music. It's Marty Jannetty.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
When Shawn Michaels super kicks him through the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Marty Jannetty. That's now, this is the thing. This is like the Mandela effect that I can never remember. Does he throw him through or does he super kick him through? I feel like he super kicks him and then he throws him.
We're going to have to watch it.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it again. Yeah. I feel like it's a super kick first, and then Jannetty falls back, and then he grabs him and launches him through the window.
Holy crap. I'm trying to think. What's another one? I think you're right. I think it's that's a super kick. Yeah.
Because Jannetty kind of, they have a good feud after that. They go on for a little while after that, but Jannetty, after the year is over, he's gone. How about John Oates?
Yeah, I thought about that too right after.
John Oates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But John Oates was, people don't realize how instrumental he was to Hall & Oates. Sang some of their best songs.
Mm-hmm.
So is he really second fiddle?
That's John Oates, true. Yeah, that's true. I remember that was another one I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. John Oates is a big one. But Andrew Ridgeley for me is a big one. I will give you what the biggest one is. I think arguably the biggest one. You ready for what I think is the largest second fiddle?
Oh, God.
You already said it, I think, in a way. So when I say it, it won't be a big surprise at all.
Okay, go ahead.
The Jackson 4.
The Jackson 4, yeah.
The Jackson 5 became the Jackson 4.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson just takes off.
Yeah.
Skyrockets. And then the four other Jacksons who were like, multiple Jacksons within that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jackson 5 disappears and Michael Jackson becomes this gigantic, the biggest pop star the world had ever seen.
I can give you a modern version of that. Justin Timberlake.
Timberlake.
Yeah.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
Yeah. NSYNC, second fiddle, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
I mean, Timberlake.
That's like four guys.
Four guys just kind of wither away.
Yeah.
They all had fun little careers afterwards.
Yeah. They were on like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Right. Yeah. Lance Bass has done like cameos and stuff.
Yeah.
Who's the other one? The one with the big head, the beard. Joey Fatone. Joey Fatone has been like comedically appearing sporadically over the years.
He knows what he is.
Yeah,
he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but there's nothing malicious I have to say about Joey Fatone.
No.
He's just a dude who's there, right?
Yeah.
He was Kirkpatrick. He did nothing.
Yeah.
And then there was the other guy who did nothing. The other guy, I can't remember his name, but he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He did nothing. I'll tell you, I remember we were at a club in 2002, and I can't remember what album it was. For Timberlake, but we'd opened this really fancy club.
Mm-hmm.
It was here in town. I'm not gonna say the name because fuck those guys. We opened this really fancy club that had like four TV screens in like hockey style, and mm-hmm. like they were over the dance floor.
Yep,
gigantic screens. They were projecting music videos on it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this Timberlake track came up, and the club hadn't opened yet. We were just doing the sound, whatever they're doing, the sound check for the DJ. And me and three or four other bouncers was hanging off the edge mm-hmm. over the dance floor and watching this video. And each one of us was like, oh, this loser, Timberlake, what a punk, what a punk.
Mm-hmm.
Our toes start tapping, our heads start nodding a little bit, and next thing you know, we're into the track.
Yeah, it's like catchy.
And catchy. We all realize right away, like, this kid's got talent, and we are all fans, and we will never speak of this again.
Yeah.
And I will admit, ever since then, I've been a Timberlake fan.
Mm-hmm.
That guy knows what he's doing.
He's a great entertainer. I'll give him that. Yeah.
Excellent entertainer, mm-hmm. very good actor, very good entertainer, great singer,
yeah.
amazing dancer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. He is the modern day version of that.
Yeah. Okay. There's who's another music person. I guess you could say Harry Styles.
Harry Styles arguably is the leading man of that group.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole. What was the group called again?
I don't know.
One Direction. One Direction.
I don't know.
I feel like that's what they were called. I'm not even being weird about it. I feel it is One Direction, right?
I have no idea.
Anyway, whatever the group was, the other guys didn't do a whole lot.
No. One guy married that Priyanka Chopra.
No, that's the Jonas Brothers.
That's the Jonas Brothers.
That's the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
There and no second fiddles there. Mm-hmm. They're all second fiddles. all kind of. But however, the Jonas kid there, the one from Jumanji and shit, I like him. He's good. He's
harmless. Yeah, One Direction. You're right. Yeah.
One Direction, right? The Jonas kid there, he's great. The one who did the Jumanji movie.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff that he does. He's got the commercial about being a diabetic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no hate for those guys, man. Mm-hmm. They're all good at what they do and the mm-hmm. role they've chosen for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Priyanka Chopra. Oh, God. Is that her name is?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I can't stand her. I don't think she's that hot anyway.
I think she's okay. You know what? She's doing well in the space she's chosen for herself.
Yeah, she's
I can't like, hate her. I'm not. It's not my thing.
She's too red carpet. It seems like she should be high maintenance. Yeah, I throw her out of a car.
I don't know if she's high maintenance, but I'll tell you what. I remember there was like a movie you watched one time, a few Indian movies that she was in. One where she played like a girl with a disability, and I just found it to be like really. I don't know. I felt like it was in poor taste. And then there were a couple other movies she was in where I just felt like she wasn't really doing a whole lot that should prop her up as this megastar. And then she became like a Western megastar with that. Was it Quantico? A TV show she had?
Yeah.
Which was good. She was fine in that. But like, I don't get the appeal. Like, I don't see how this is like groundbreaking. It's great that it's positive Indian reinforced, like a positive Indian portrayals.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing negative about her.
No, there's nothing negative. There's just nothing special about her.
There's nothing special.
Yeah.
I'll say this is what I appreciate about her. Is she's not, she's, at least from what I've seen, she doesn't push any kind of like demo agendas.
No.
And she never
she's
plays.
Just, yeah, she's just given what she does and she does it. Yeah.
She does it well. So I have no ill will.
She's a toxic white male in these movies.
Yeah, I don't feel that. I haven't heard her say that.
If she did, then I would be like, shut up. No one cares about your opinion.
Right? I mean, like, if she starts telling me about the problem with Apu, then we're going to have a problem with you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's a problem with Apu.
I'd bring it to her house. First of all, I'd get rid of her husband really quick.
I'd knock on that door and be like, hey, man. Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, exactly. Just put him in the closet for a second and take her and just, like, put her on the ground, just put her in a chokehold and just, like,
stop bashing Apu!
Stop fucking...
Oh, you wouldn't do that. That's exactly what you're talking about.
No, I would do it to her lower back.
Just a couple kidney punches.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple kidney punches to get you in line with the Apu problem.
And disappear into the night.
Disappear into the night. Oh, God. Not a whole lot more. I had a thing. I think I told you. I went to it wasn't a Scouts Canada event, but my neighbor, a good old Justin from the last episode we did, the Mario Brothers, he invited me to partake in a Cub Car event. You cut down a block of wood and create your own race car, and you race it down a ramp against a lot of other competitors.
Oh, okay.
I know this sounds like when you hear somebody say it, you're like, that's fucking stupid. You're an adult. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You're a grown man at a Cub Car race for Scouts Canada.
Use your own car.
Use your own car. But I will tell you something.
Just put it in neutral and let it go.
Put it in neutral and roll it downhill.
Yeah.
It was the most wholesome thing that I've done in a really long time.
Wholesome?
Wholesome. Like everybody is there just to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the kids were just having a really good time.
Yeah.
People were doing wild shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were two guys who were clearly Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Two cars. One was powered by a DeWalt battery.
Okay.
I mean, a straight up fucking 18 volt DeWalt battery on the back.
Yep.
This is a rocket car, which exploded on impact the second it hit the stopping board.
Oh.
I mean, it had a lot of power to it. The other one was so powerful, the dude couldn't put wheels on it because he built a custom turbine engine, like the Batmobile.
Oh.
Put it on the ramp. At like an eighth power, this thing jumped 15 feet in the air over the heads of the other competitors. And just like kind of tapping it. Which made me really want to be like, hey, buddy, you want to do me a favor and just like pull the throttle all the way back and let's see what happens?
Yeah.
He had like a 2.5 gigahertz controller with like a antenna on it. Very wholesome. The entire event was just like, that's what you want to see friends do more of.
Mm-hmm.
Like just have a good time with people who want to just have a good time.
No, I agree. Yeah. Those days are the best. Like that's kind of like that when I go for like, when we do these races,
mm-hmm.
we go for runs and stuff like that. Like there's just, it's great because like you go there. You meet everybody, then you do your race, then you come back. At the finish line, it's the best because you can just relax.
Yep.
There's a social thing, like you can grab food, they have protein shakes, they have food, like water, they have everything for you, juice, Gatorade. And then when you're done, it's like everyone's there for the same purpose. Strangers are cheering you on. And then when you're done, just go, if you're in Banff, for example, when you're done, just go party in Banff.
Yeah.
On that Saturday night and then come back on a Sunday.
All wholesome, good fun.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking trash.
Yeah, it's as wholesome as a granola bar.
As wholesome That's pretty good. That should be on a t-shirt. As wholesome as a granola bar.
Just a picture of me like this. I'm like,
just a thumbs up. As wholesome as a granola bar.
Just pointing at you. I'm like, wholesome as a
granola bar. I don't know if you ripped that off from somewhere. I'm stealing it. No, man. I like that. I like the idea of, I mean, competition is fun and doing all that stuff is really great. Is great, right?
It's for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's for yourself. But to actually enjoy the company of other people without talking shit about other people.
Yeah.
Like you just go there just to have a good time with people who are there to have a good time. Yeah. Like to watch the kids get competitive. Like kids were, at one point they did this like open call. Like, all right, the races are done. We've got our winners. We've got our three main cars lined up. They're going to go. But does anybody want to challenge anybody else in these races? And this little like 9-year old, he was gangster, man. He just stared at another one of his friends until like kid made eye contact and pointed at him. That kid was like, yes. He got up and grabbed his car. This kid grabbed his car and they went head to head in like a near tie. But I mean, for like a 25-foot track, it was nail biting.
Oh, nice.
It was like nail biting to watch these two kids who were just having a good time screwing around, building like little wedge block cars.
Oh, cool.
I'll show my car after the after we're done here. Mine mine didn't turn out what I want. Like it was supposed to be like it was gonna be like Venom, like very organic.
Oh, okay.
I didn't quite pull off, but it's still pretty cool. But it was just wholesome, man. I just enjoyed the idea of people just showing up to have fun without any kind of pretense or screwing around, talking trash, worried about what anybody else thinks. Mm-hmm. I think that's the moral of the whole thing. It's like you should never worry about what other people think about you.
No, never. Yeah, just have a good time.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. If you want to do something, just do it.
Yeah.
If you want to have fun with something that you want to have fun doing, just go do it.
Yeah. Like, for example, if you're there to run a race and you feel you can't do it, just walk it.
Just walk it.
Yeah.
Right?
No one cares. No one's there judging you.
No, if somebody's calling you a nerd or talking shit about something you want to do, or like you mention something and somebody else is like, that thing's for losers, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, that person is not somebody you want in your life anyway.
Yeah, that's not somebody you want in your life. And their opinion means so little because their opinion of themselves is probably weirdly fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good... Their own self-image is based on something messed up in their head.
Yeah.
And you don't need that in your life anyway.
No.
Just do things that you want to do, and if somebody doesn't like it, that's their problem, man.
Yeah.
You be you. And keep kids weird.
Yeah. Keep kids weird.
Yeah. Was that kind of like a callback?
Yeah, that's a good callback. Like a callback, right? That's a callback, yeah.
That's a good callback. I've been working on those.
Yeah.
I've been having callbacks.
Yeah.
Not to, oh yeah, you can keep, oh yeah, if you got anything else.
I got nothing else.
You got nothing else?
No, nothing else.
Like, not even want to talk about how great Pixelmator is or like, you know, how much
fun. Oh yeah, I'm just flooding my MacBook full of like really good Apple Silicon based software.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's so, Pixelmator is just so good.
It really like you feel like you're free from Lightroom.
Yeah, you're just like, you know what? I never have to like look at my credit card and be like, what's this charge?
Oh, Adobe. $6 charge.
Fuck, well, I don't have to Adobe pay for this. Yeah, but this one is like, it does everything else I need. I'm not a professional by any means, so.
Getting there.
Yeah, I'm just by editing pictures and stuff like that, but it's good. You know, you just, because with the drone, you can get like amazing, amazing photographs.
And then, talking.
And yeah, you can just use Pixelmator just to, just do edit, do color correction, make it the way you like, so. Yeah, but other than that, I don't really have anything else.
Nothing else? I thought I'd show the car. I thought I'd
show
you and everybody else the car. That is the that is what mine ended up looking like.
Oh,
it's a shiny. It was gonna be Venom. It didn't quite turn out the way I wanted to. I was not there to win. I was there to just make this like little wedge of organic material. But I had the paint. The paint job was that 80s Venom black and blue.
Yeah.
I mixed my own paint. I added my own metal. Everything ready to go. And then it just didn't quite work out with the logo. I couldn't get the logo looking how I wanted to when I cut it. And I was going to paste it on there. So I just didn't do it. I like how he's like looking at it from an engineering standpoint.
Nice.
Yeah, not bad, right? Not bad. Now,
the axles are very like, they're actually pretty tight.
They're pretty tight.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't do is apparently like everybody there poured lead into theirs. They've got ounce limit.
Yeah, just like to keep the weight down?
To keep the weight down.
Yeah.
And the ones that had lead...
Oh, no, not to keep the weight down, but to like make it a little bit heavier.
Yeah, to make it heavier.
Yeah,
to keep the weight... Yeah. To keep it lower to the track.
Lower to the track, yeah. Like, better center of gravity.
Right, the better center of gravity. And I did not do that. And I was... It showed. Because although mine looked really nice. Because
you could have literally put it like right here.
I could have put it right there.
Yeah, right there. And then just sealed it.
For sure.
Yeah.
As nice as it ended up looking in the long run.
You should have consulted me earlier.
I should have.
Yeah.
It did not fly down the track. The ones that looked just like mine that actually went straight down the track, like flew down the track, were flying. And actually, they weren't much bigger than mine.
Maybe you could have put what you could have put there? A AA battery and just sealed it.
I could have. What I'm going to end up doing is drilling holes in the bottom and pouring lead into it.
Oh, okay. I would put I would have put a battery in there and then seal the top so no one could see it.
You know what is correct about that? Is somebody kind of did that. A kid took the same idea that you got the battery and put coins on his. He taped two racks of coins together and glued them on top.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Or just some dimes or something like that.
I think it was just dimes or pennies.
Yeah.
Didn't look like it was quarters or nickels or loonies and toonies.
Yep. Just a full
Canada.
It's a AA and just put it in there, seal it, paint it over it so it'll
get good to go.
Yep.
We had a fun one today.
Yeah.
For two guys who are tired. Maybe
tired.
Ate too much.
Yeah. Just a long day.
A long day. I think we had a pretty fun episode today.
Yeah.
As a bit of a return. Last week's episode is being cut into multiple episodes and put on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
So that's what's going to end up happening with that one. We basically had a week hiatus.
Okay.
And then this episode will go up this week.
Cool.
Because we are now going to try to force that Instagram social media thing. We're going to push a little bit harder.
Sounds good. Okay.
I always say we will, and I always don't do it because I don't get a return. The returns, they're not diminishing.
The ROIs are not where you'd like them to be.
The ROI sucks, is what it does.
Yeah.
So we're not losing money on it because it's all free, but there's no benefit to it.
Yeah, exactly. The benefit is we get to hang out.
We get to hang out. So now there will be a benefit to it as well.
All right. Well,
yeah. Now, the music has been playing for a little while.
Peace out. Yep.
All right.